It doesn't matter which particular word you use. So that's shabda art, shabda mula and arta mula dwani. And we can find examples of all three kinds of sankara, or special mixture, in this one verse. So as follows. Your affection toward me is very great, because you are awakening me in the morning with your generous dakshina. Dakshina means udara. With your generous glance, not right eye, but generous glance. There's a play on words. But you don't have such affection for her as you have for me, because you only make her happy at night with your crooked glance. Now here there is a hetu alankar. Now hetu alankar, when you confuse the cause and the effect, you think you actually talk as if the cause and effect were the same thing. That's a hetu alankar. That's one definition. There are other definitions. Actually, Kavi Karnapur doesn't deal with the category of hetu alankar. It's not one of the alankars he lists, but he's talking about it here. Other poets, other authorities, have hetu alankar on their list, and there's varying definitions of it, and I don't even remember what they are, and it has something to do with confusing the cause and the effect, the reason and the result. Well, these are the results that you make her happy at night, and you make me happy during the daytime with your mild glance, and her with your crooked glance. The reasons are stated later at the beginning of the verse. I am a Padmini, and she's a Kumudini. Well, everyone knows that Kumudinis are an inferior kind of lotus in comparison to Padminis. Padminis are superior lotuses. So I'm better because I'm a Padmini. Okay, that's one suggestion. But there's another way to read it. You can get a different suggestion out of it. I'm a Padmini. Meaning that I'm a Padmi. Padmini means I'm a Padma, but not really a Padma, just a Padma in name. Padma means lotus. Padmini is a derived word. So you could translate Padmini as so-called Padma. I'm a so-called Padma, but not really one. Otherwise, if I was a real Padma, a real superior lotus, you would have love for me, and you don't. And she's a Kumuda. She's Kumudini, only a so-called Kumuda. You can call her a Kumuda, but actually, if she was really a Kumuda, then you wouldn't have so much love for her as you do. Okay, what we're getting suggested is just the opposite. You know, one suggestion is that you love me more than her, and now the suggestion is you love her more than me. So what we're left with is a doubt, samshaya. The two suggestions are related in a relationship of doubt. You don't know which one it is. Now you can see and hear a different kind of sankara also. There's quite a complex of different kinds of suggestions here. When you say I'm a Padmini lotus and she's a Kumudini lotus, that's rupaka. That's a rupaka alankar being expressed. You know, when you say, you know, someone is a lotus. And then, after that, the reason for this is given. So I guess one definition of hetu alankar is when you explicitly say something and then give the reason for it also. That's an ornament of speech. So the ornament is here. But it's suggested. It isn't explicit. All we say is that you wake me up in the morning, you wake her up at night. But that is suggesting that this is the reason why she's one kind of lotus and he's the other. Why am I a Padma lotus? Because Padma lotuses are the ones that get woken up in the day. And Kumudinis are light night-blooming lotuses. So calling... Anyway, we're suggesting the reasons, but not really saying it. So there's a suggestion of Hetu Alankar here. But also, what is in? That's one suggestion. But also, it said that you are just Madhusudana. Well, Madhusudana, it means, one meaning of it is, a bee. It's the name of a bee called Madhusudana. And that bee, he doesn't care one flower or another. He's equally attracted to all. So really, if you're just a bee, you know, a debauchee bee, and you don't really have a preference. You just take the nectar from all the flowers. So it's not your fault. You're just a debauchee. It's not your fault that there's some rivalry here. It's my fault. Because I'm a Padmini. And Padminis only associate with the bees in the morning, because that's the time when they open up. At nighttime, they're closed, so the bees can't get into them. Okay, I'm not exactly sure what's going on here. What he says is, what is happening here is there's a suggestion made by the word bee, name of the bee, Madhusudana. And that leads back to the Rupa Alankar again. So it looks like the Rupa Alankar suggests something about Krishna, and then Krishna being a bee suggests again the fact that one girl is one kind of lotus and one girl is another kind of lotus, the metaphor. So there's a mutual dependence here. It's sort of a circular logic. One suggestion leads to another suggestion, and that leads back to the first suggestion again, around the circle. Which in logic would be a fault. That, you know, your reason has to be proven by your result, and it goes around in a circle. But in poetry, it's not a fault, it's an ornament. That one suggestion depends on another suggestion, and then the second suggestion also depends on the first one. Okay, I'm sorry if that's not clear. That's the best I understand it. Yes? Second kind of sankara is the mutual dependence, or some kind of dependence, maybe mutual. Third kind, also, you are Madhusudana. Now we can interpret this another way, taking the word mudda, which is not madhu, but it's close, mudda, to mean satisfaction. It's another meaning of the dhatu, mud. I see, mud is in mutta. You Madhusudana, you're mutta. But mutta, mud, dhatu, of which mutta is the past passive participle, can also mean to be satisfied. So you're self-satisfied, is what mutta means, O Madhusudana. In other words, you don't have any preference, or you're not dependent on anybody. You're self-satisfied. Apeksha, you have no dependence. So that is a sobhavokti. It's a poetic description of the beauty of nature. In this case, the bumblebee. Just see the bumblebee. He's independent. He doesn't care for anything. He's self-satisfied. So it's sort of a natural image of the bumblebee in nature. Now that's one Alankar. Okay, so the word mutta is making that suggestion of the swabhavokti Alankar. But then we also have the statement that you wake up me, the Padmini, in the morning with one eye and her with the other eye. Well, it's the Vama eye and the Dakshina eye. Well, if we take the other side of the Shlesha, the double entendre of Madhusudana, and mean the Supreme Lord, Lord Vishnu has two eyes. One of them is the sun and one is the moon. So it all matches up. He awakens the night blooming lotus with the moon eye, the left eye. And with the right eye, you wake up me, the day blooming lotus. Now, here I'm confused. He says, he concludes that the double entendre of the word Madhusudana, which can mean either the bumblebee or the... Okay, in the case of Madhusudana meaning bumblebee, it suggests one thing. And then in the other case of Madhusudana meaning the Supreme Lord, it ends up suggesting the same thing. The same suggestion is made in two different ways. Which? I guess so. Yeah. Just like a bee doesn't give a damn about anything. He's just carefree. And you're the Supreme Lord. You're also independent. So the independence, is being suggested in two different ways. It really can't be both. Either it's a bee or a bumblebee or the Supreme Lord. Yeah, the Supreme Lord is not a bumblebee. But either way, it ends up suggesting the same thing, that you're independent. If you're a bumblebee, you're independent. If you're the Supreme Lord, you're also independent. That's a special kind of combination, if I have it right, of two different phrases, or two different ways of looking at something, ending up making the same suggestion. Okay, now you also have in the same verse, simple samsrishti, a whole cascade of distinct, not related in these ways, one dvani following another one. And what happens here is, Dakshina can also mean simple. So with your simple glance, you know, the lochana can mean eye or it can mean glance. So you wake me up with your simple glance. That means you don't have any real affection for me. But with your crooked glance, you make her happy. So that means your real affection is for her. Okay, so that's a suggestion of a particular idea, that you really love her and not me. Now, that makes a further suggestion. What you really are like, you're like a bumblebee, Madhusudana. That's your nature. You have a bumblebee nature. That means you're stupid. You have no intelligence. It's like a dumb bumblebee. Because, you know, you have to be stupid to love her instead of me. And you're mutta, you're crazy. What that is, svabhavokti, that's describing Krishna's nature as a stupid, you know, intoxicated bumblebee who can't make any proper discrimination between who deserves to be loved and who doesn't. Yes. Well, Gana Shunya, because you call him an insect. You know, you're just a bug. Yes. So where does such a person as you like this, who's like this, have any discrimination? Therefore, you're not fit to be a romantic hero. So there's a samsrishti here. On one hand, there is a natural description of what Krishna is like, as if he was some feature of nature. And on the other hand, it's simply insulting Krishna. Tell him he's totally unqualified. So we have a samsrishti, or just an arbitrary combination of two different suggestions. And also, there are a lot of other things suggested here by samsrishti, by just arbitrary one leading to another. by the word and by the individual words and by the whole idea of the whole statement, we have suggestions of these different bhavas. Barva, Dairya, Dainya, Glani, Nirveda, Avihita. Now this is Bhavadwani, where we can't really analyze any sequence because it's too complex and too almost simultaneous. The sequence of different suggestions that lead to the suggestion of the bhava is like sticking a needle through 1,000 lotus petals. It seems like it's simultaneous because it's so quick. We can't analyze it. But we have all these bhavas, cascade of bhavas, pride and soberness and depression, loss of enthusiasm, and so on. Avihita, dissimulation, pretending that, you know, hiding your emotions. All these bhavas are suggested in this verse, one after another. That's also some srishti. There's no particular relationship between these bhavas. They just, you know, one after another. Each of them has their own life. That's all I can tell you about that example. But there's a lot going on in that verse. Yeah. Yes. 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 Well, I'm not sure what it really means, dependence, and in what sense dependent. The second dvani has to be dependent on the first normally. One dvani leads to another. So if the first dvani is missing, or you don't catch it, or the author didn't express it, then the second one never gets expressed. But here we have a situation where it's, in a paradoxical way, they're both dependent on one another. The second one doesn't make sense without the first, and the first one doesn't make sense without the second. They both get expressed somehow in a paradoxical way. Although normally, you have to understand the first dvani, and then you catch the second one based on it. The first dvani creates the second dvani. But here, the first and second are each creating one another. I think that's what's going on. It's mutual dependence. There is always dependence, but here we have a dependence that works both directions, which in logic is a vicious cycle, you know, which is erroneous, but in poetry it's okay. Yeah, that means, you know, it doesn't arise until the other one arises. It's dependent for its very existence. Just like, you know, if someone is the father, if you know, if so-and-so is the father of so-and-so, then he's got to be the son of so-and-so. If he wasn't the son of so-and-so, he wouldn't even be born, and therefore he couldn't be the father of the next person. So the second one, he's based on this first. If the first one doesn't come into being, the second one will never happen. Will never be ever never any idea of it. Anugraha means to be favored by. You need to get the blessings of the first one. Yeah. Yeah, blessed by. But I think it's just blessed by in the sense of it's, you know, if the first dvani is the cause of the second dvani. So it's got to be blessed by the presence of the cause. The result has to be blessed by the presence of the cause. Favorable circumstance has to be there. When there's gold, then you can talk about gold rings. But if the jeweler is out of gold, then he can't make you a gold ring. I'm sorry, there's no gold in the market. But if he's got a stock of gold, then he can make you a gold ring. So in that way, the result is dependent on the cause. And the second dvani is the result of the first dvani. But when we work it both ways, that the first dvani is also dependent on the second one, then we have a paradoxical situation where there's mutual dependence. Yes? We're not recording, are we? Not supposed to be understood.
We discussed some time ago about how vyanjanas could be dependent on shabda, on the word itself, on the meaning of the word, and
that's
also
mula, yeah,
on the vyanjana also, vyanjana mula vyanjana. So how is what we are discussing right now, the one vyanjana depending on the other, different from what we discussed?
Well, that's when you have a sequence. When you create a single dwani, it's got to come from either Abhida or Lakshana or other dwani. Every dwani has to come from somewhere. Every dwani doesn't have to come from another dwani. If it doesn't come from another dwani, it has to come from a literal or a figurative meaning or a suggested meaning. That's dependence. But here we have the dependence of a second dwani upon a specific case of a second dwani dependent on the first dwani. Well, because the first dwani creates the second dwani. This is a case of vyanjana, mula, vyanjana.
But in this case, both vyanjanas...
Yeah, then if you got... If you sort of... Maybe in a pseudo-logical way, maybe it's not real solid logic, but you seem to see that the second dwani, the first dwani is dependent on the second one, that the second dwani creates the first one. Maybe it does. Maybe, it, you know, that's what we had. We the second dwani suggested the first one again. The first dwani suggested the second one went further and went back and suggested the first one. It looks like a mutual dependence. It's just a reiteration of the first one. The first one already existed, so it's not that the first one's really dependent on the second one. But it looks like it. Yes?
Does it mean like, because if we deliberately say that choosing a day when we learn something, a night when we learn, then because of that rubrica, then we have to make, we have to assume that Madhusudana is a rubrica, that Krishna is a being?
Yeah. What we did, though, is we shifted gears and we took Madhusudana in the other sense of being the Supreme Lord. Then he's got a left, a moon eye and a sun eye, and then it makes sense why one's a Padmini and the other one's a... Because we're told that he wakes up one of them with his moon eye and the other one with his sun eye, so one of them must be a day-blooming lotus and the other one must be a night-blooming lotus. We end up coming back to the first suggestion from the second one, but when we... By using both sides of the double entendre, by reinterpreting Madhusudana to mean Supreme Lord instead of Bumblebee, then we come back to the first suggestion, suggested by the second. I think so. Still a little vague to me. There's another example. Can we try it? This is the last example in the chapter, yeah. Uchuna stanitasya sarva sukado krishnambudasyodayo vatakshi karavahina sumanasam viti vikasham gata snigda bur gata eva sandrabara shamavayamana dishar Pita Gokulam. Gokulamandas Chasaritap Shita Giri Drona Yaha. Okay, the rising of the Krishna cloud, the black cloud, which is loudly roaring, is giving happiness to everybody. Sarvasukada, vata, the winds are carrying little particles of cool water, water vapor, water particles. The viti, the row of flowers, is blooming, has bloomed. The earth is glistening, snigda, and the feverish feeling in the heart has gone away, gata. Shamavada maya, and all the directions are shining with a dark blue light. Very vividly. The minds of everybody in Gokula are delighted. And the rivers are flowing coolly. And so are the and also cool are the valleys inside the between the mountains. Okay, this is some natural description here of some cloud on top of Govardhan. But there's a double entendre too. Here, Sabda Shakti Udba, Arta Shakti. Yeah, we have both kinds of dvani going on. Some dependent on the particular word by double entendre, and some just dependent on the basic meaning, even apart from the particular word used. And there's a combination, a samsrishti. This verse is giving example not of the samkaras, but of simple samsrishti. Just a complex of unrelated suggestions. And there's a combination, what is being suggested here, some of them things being suggested are alankars, and some of them are ideas, vastus. As follows. There is a heroine, a girl, who is standing near her elders by the side of Govardhan. And another girl is addressing her, trying to tell her that there's Krishna, he's made an appointment to meet us in a mountain, some cave in the mountain. That's what she's trying to tell, but the elders are there, so she can't say it in so many words. She has to resort to dvani. So in order to inform the other girl about that, she points to a cloud which has by chance arisen over the mountain, a dark cloud, and tells her the following. The literal meaning of the verse is self-evident. It doesn't have to be explained. And here, the Udipana Vibhava, the Vibhava known as Udipana, the reference to the cloud being a reminder of Krishna's similar beauty, that's also very obvious here. But the literal meaning and this suggestion of vibhava, which is a bhava, that's ecstasy, the udipana bhava, they're suggesting a particular alankar called tulya yogita. When all the different factors involved in a certain situation are mentioned all together, you know, if you mention all the qualities of Krishna, all 26 qualities of Krishna in one verse, that's tulya yogita. Simultaneous mention of everything about something. So what is combined here in tulya yogita is Krishna is over here. He's at the place where we made the appointment to meet him. And also, a cloud has risen above Govardhan. That's another thing. So they're both being described in the same words, simultaneously. This is an example of tulya yogita alankar, where you describe, I guess here it means, describing two different events by the same words. And what we have a combination of here is this is affected by the double entendre of the compound Krishnambuddha, that which can be taken either as a Karmadarya or as a Tritiya Tatpurusha. Yeah. Yeah, the tulya yogita, by definition, involves that, the simultaneity of two different events being described together. Well, what's being suggested by this combination of, let's see, how is it? Krishna Ambuda. Okay, either it means that Krishna is the cloud. That she can't say in front of the elders, she can't say, "There's Krishna, he's over there by the cave, he's waiting for us." No, she has to say, "Look, there's a cloud up there." So it's a Krishna cloud, it's a dark cloud, but by double entendre, Krishna's the cloud. When I say cloud, I mean Krishna, but don't tell your mother that. But another way of construing it is that it's Krishna, a cloud along with Krishna. Yeah, look at the cloud, but you see that what's underneath the cloud there next to the cave? That's Krishna. So she's pointing to the cloud, but by coincidence, Krishna happens to be there too. So it's the cloud along with Krishna, Krishna Saha Ambuda. That's Tritiya Tatpurusha. That double entendre of the samasa, of the construction of the, yes? Krishnena Saha. What did I say? Krishna Saha is a samasa. No? So what's suggested by that double entendre of the samasa is upama alankar, that Krishna is just like a cloud. Or that the Krishna and the cloud both share qualities. They're like one another. Okay, but there are further suggestions. We said Uchuna Stanita, that is loudly roaring, the cloud, thundering. That suggests a fact. The Vastu, that the cloud is ready to start raining. When you hear the clouds rumbling, that means rain is coming very soon. Varsh Utkatam. And that means we better go meet Krishna right away. It's going to start raining. That's the other idea that's suggested by the suggestion. It's a cascade of suggestions here. Just saying that this cloud is roaring loud suggests that it's going to rain, and that suggests that we better go right away. But there's a double entendre here. This is Sabanga Slesha. Slesha, the double entendre based on the play of words of splitting up the words differently. Sometimes you have to split the words up differently to get the two different meanings, and sometimes you don't. So there's Abanga and Sabanga Slesha. Here's a Sabanga Slesha. Uchuna Stanitasya. That could be an adjective describing the cloud. It can also be broken up. Uchana Stani, or girl with high breasts. Tasya. And Tasya can just be the pronoun referring to Krishna cloud. Hey, Uchuna Stani. Uchana Stani, the Sambodhana, is making a suggestion that you're in the prime of youth. And that suggests that because you have heavy breasts, it's going to be very slow walking for you to get there. And that suggests that don't waste any time. Get going right now. So we have a chain of three or four dhvanis, one after another. And the pronoun tasya is suggesting that Krishna is, when you just call him and you don't refer to him by name, you're showing great respect by that. And that means that Krishna is very great and he's not easy to get, so, and he's very dear to everybody. That's all suggested by the pronoun tasya, if we break it up as tasya. Then we have the phrase sarva-sukha-da. That cloud, Krishna cloud, is giving happiness to everybody. Well, Sarvasukha Da, there's a Hetu Alankar, which I don't completely understand. Sarvasukha Da is the reason. Here, the Hetu Alankar is stating the reason without the effect. You're supposed to guess the effect. You just say Socrates is a man, and you're supposed to from that guess that Socrates is mortal, because all men are mortal. So we just give the reason, we don't even state what the conclusion is. The conclusion is suggested. So what's suggested is the reason. He gives happiness to everybody. Therefore, the conclusion is suggested that we shouldn't waste any time. We should get going. And it said that the waters are carrying little drops of water. The air, the wind is carrying little drops of water. That's a natural description, svabhavokti alankar. But that alankar suggests the idea that we may get very fatigued in our loving dealings with Krishna, but the wind will blow away all our perspiration. And it said, Sumanasam viti vikasham gata. The whole row of flowers has bloomed. Well, that's malates and other flowers. Again, that's a description of the beauty of nature. Svabhava okti alankar. And that makes a further suggestion. The svabhava okti alankar is suggested, and then that makes a further suggestion that sumanasa can be read a different way as meaning those whose minds are favorably disposed, who aren't angry at Krishna. All the girls who are not currently angry at Krishna, they can go meet him. And vikasha can mean prasada, satisfied. So those girls who are feeling satisfied with Krishna, don't have any quarrel with him, it's time for you all to go and meet Krishna. And there's another idea suggested by all that, that you better go right away before the other girls go. Because, you know, actually they should all go, but you better go first before everybody else. And it says the earth has become glistening, but it can be read another way with the avagraha, snigda abu, you have become very loved by him. I mean, that means you're taking the trouble to run over there is going to be very happy, very enjoyable for you, even though it's an effort. But you should understand that he loves you very much. And snigda also means that you're very favorably disposed to him, which implies that you're not at all angry at him. So since you're not angry at him, and all the girls who are not angry at him should go right away. You're not angry at him. You're snigda. So you should go right away. And why is she snigda? The reason is stated. Your feverish mentality has dissipated. Gata sandrada baraha. And this also suggests something else. This girl who's talking is describing all these different symptoms. That means that what she's implying is the idea that just by looking at you and seeing your external disposition, I can tell exactly what you're thinking. And then it said that all the directions have turned dark blue color. That's good. That means the sky is dark, then you can go and no one is going to see you going. Well, that's when we're talking about a cloud, but if we take the double entendre otherwise and take it to mean we're talking about Krishna, this mention of Gokula is Spitta. The village of Raja is Spita. That means, in one sense, it's crowded with people. So don't bring him over to the village. There's too many people there. The saritas are utpura. The rivers are overflowing. So we can't bring them to the shore of the Jamuna because there's a flood going on. And, well, what's left? I guess the only place we can meet him is over there in the cave in the mountain by a process of elimination. So that establishes that's where we're supposed to meet Krishna. And that's, there's Krishna right there, standing next to the cave. So all these things are being suggested here. It's a samsrishti. It's just a cascade of not directly logically connected suggestions. Okay, that's all I can say about that verse. So some final concluding statement here in the chapter. These such chains of one suggestion making another and so on, these are the symptoms of uttamottama kavya. There are two different ways in which suggestion works. Simple suggestion and anudvani, re-echoing of suggestion. Where there's only simple suggestion, that's just plain uttama kavya. But when you have suggestion implying other suggestion, suggesting other suggestions, then it's super excellent poetry. Now, the previous authorities on kavya don't recognize uttamottama kavya. They just talk of uttama kavya. But we don't agree with that way of looking at it, because then when you have a simple verse that only makes one suggestion, in comparison to a verse that makes countless suggestions, they would be equally graded as uttama kavya. That's not fair. So I'm insistent, Kavi Kanwar says, in making a separate category of uttamottama kavya. Okay, that's the chapter, chapter 3. Yeah. Chapter 7. We'll start that. Yeah. Shabda Alankars. Yeah. Do you need copies of the chapter? You have it. Okay. You have it. If you have the file, if you have the folder, you should have it. AK7. You don't have it? I have it in my directory. What chapters do you have?
1, 2, 3, 5, 4, 5.
Anyway, I have 7. I'll make a copy of it. If you want to come and get the copy, I'll give it to you. No, that's a outline. But the actual chapter is in AK7. But it's in my machine. If you want to come with a pen drive, I'll give it to you. Bring it to the machine and copy. You can bring it over there now. Okay, we'll stop. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.